waves, or else Christie would have blown open her stomach. A bad way for anybody to catch the last train west. Gently lifting an eyelid, Mildred waved a butane lighter back and forth. The pupils dilated in response, and Christie muttered something too soft to hear.
She's alive. She just took it a lot worse than us. Her hair, you know.
Makes sense.
Ryan rubbed his cheek and found a dense stubble. The one-eyed man now knew for certain that they had been unconscious for days. Whoever had been operating the kite had been really serious about chilling all of them. A brief image flashed into his mind of a tall man standing next to Silas as the bullet slammed into the hated white coat, blowing away chunks of his screaming body. The stranger had been wearing a crisp blue uniform, not just a shirt, and he'd been carrying several holstered blasters. Logic said he had to be the sect chief of the complex. At least their new enemy had a face, if not a name.
Can you do anything for her?
I think so.
Mildred reached for her medkit. She paused with a hand in midair. Damn. She'd forgotten about tossing away the precious medkit in their desperate race to reach the redoubt. Every pound gone meant more speed, and the companions had barely gotten inside alive. Her medkit was miles away, probably reduced to ashes. She slumped in disappointment, too tired to feel angry at the loss or hatred of the blue shirts, and forced herself to think about other things. There would be time for revenge later. Christie started to cough, and Mildred lifted the woman's neck to clear her throat. The redhead instantly breathed easier, and Mildred looked for something to use as a pillow. An old-fashioned frock coat was draped over the feeder pipe. Perfect. Mildred appropriated the garment, folding it into a wad and sliding it under the sleeping woman's neck.
Anybody got a canteen?
Mildred looked around, hopefully. Still working on his glasses, JB pushed the container closer with the heel of his boot.
Here you go.
Unscrewing the cap, Mildred poured a few warm drops into the palm of her hand and wiped Christie's face. It wasn't much, but that was all the physician could do at the moment. The water seemed to help, and Christie's eyes fluttered open.
Where? Gaia. The redoubt. Tennessee.
Mildred pushed her back down.
Lay still. Wait to get your strength. We're okay for the moment.
Maybe.
Ryan rummaged through his clothing for bullets. He found nothing. Len checked the magazine of his pistol. 6 rounds. That was it. Not good. Muttering to himself, a pale teenager with hair the color of snow lifted himself off the floor with both arms, as if doing a push-up, and blinked ruby-red eyes.
Not dead.
Jack Lauren sounded slightly shocked. The teenager was dressed in camo-colored fatigues. A big boar colt python was holstered at his hip.
Speak for yourself.
Doc stirred groggily to life. One of the silver-haired man's boots had come off, exposing a sock with a hole in the toe. The frilly white shirt and breeches shouted that the man could have come from another time, and the huge Civil War-era blaster holstered at his hip seemed to confirm it. He clenched an ebony cane in one fist, the silver lion's head loose enough to expose a few inches of the stainless steel sword hidden inside the hollow sheath. Grunting with the effort, Dr. Theophilus Tanner flipped onto his back, leaving the damp shadow of his body on the floor. He levered himself into a sitting position using the stick, then stared at the weapon for a moment as if unaware of what it was. Then, forcing open his grip, Doc dropped the weapon with a clatter. The imprint of the handle was clear on his palm, as if it had been burned into the flesh. He glanced at the high curved ceiling and glass walls.
So, we actually did make it down here. I was not sure if this had all been a dream or a real event.
Real enough. Just not sure how we got here. Everything after entering the front door is fuzzy.
Extracting a silk handkerchief with a blue swallow's eye design from a pocket, Doc wiped his face, then used both hands to wring out the cloth. Water dribbled onto the floor.
I fully understand, my dear Ryan. Is everybody else undamaged?
I'm okay.
Dean Carter was leaning against the thumping water pipe, his body moving with each pulsation. A semi-automatic Browning high-power pistol rested in a cracked leather holster on his right hip, and a huge bowie knife jutted from a black nylon sheath on the other side, as if the enormous blade was balancing the weight of the adult-sized blaster. JB jerked a thumb.
Christy is still out.
Doc frowned, then nodded.
Ah, yes. Her hair, of course.
With the others awake and moving, Ryan took the opportunity to survey the underground reactor room. They were in the main access corridor that ran straight down the middle of the wide room. Stairs leading to the higher levels were at the far end, and some kind of processing water pump stood amid the companions. Long windows of unbreakable glass formed the walls on either side, letting them see the huge machinery beyond. But there were no doors to allow access. Perhaps this was a restricted zone, and the elevator intended for use by the nuke techs only. A huge control booth filled the right side of the reactor room, with a pair of desiccated corpses in U.S. Army uniforms sitting at the complex panels. Ryan was impressed. For the bodies to be in that good condition after 100 years, the booth had to be absolutely airtight. Damn good workmanship. To the left was a still pool of clear water, with a maze of bubbling pipes and a steady glowing light at the bottom. Mildred had once explained that the glow was actually a powerful laser flashing a million times a second, but to the naked eye it seemed like a smooth shine. Ryan didn't care. Some levels of tech in the redoubts were far beyond his understanding. As long as the pre-dark machinery maintained itself and continued pouring out electricity to run the redoubt, basically that was all he cared about. Just then, something familiar caught his attention, and Ryan quickly went to reclaim his long blaster. The Steyr SSG-70 bolt-action rifle was undamaged, but the rotary clip in the breech was exhausted, and there were no more mags in his ammo pouch. Ryan shouldered the useless weapon. Even though they had no ammo right now, the companions sometimes found stores of weapons and ammo in the redoubts. Then he recalled where they were, and bitterly cursed. The last time they had been here, the redoubt was completely clean, not a can of beans or a single live round remaining in the whole place. Plus, the Matrans unit was turned off. Or had he imagined that? They would have to check the chamber first thing. That was top priority. Without some way out of here, they could be hit by the microwaves again. The one-eyed warrior didn't think any of them could survive another bombardment like the last one.
Hey, lover.
Christy limped across the room. Her flawless face was flushed from the effort of standing, but the woman was walking under her own power, the wild corona of her hair waving as if stirred by secret winds. Ryan considered that a good sign. She had to be on the mend.
Feeling better?
Ryan reached out to stroke her cheek. The filaments of her fiery hair coiled about his fingers, pulling the man closer. Christy took his calloused hand in hers and gave a squeeze.
Still alive. Which is a lot more than we can say about Silas, so I can't really complain.
She tried to conjure a laugh, and only managed a weakly smile. For the nth time, Ryan realized how truly beautiful she was, his perfect match in every possible way, and a brief smile crossed his scarred face.
I am most pleased to see you up and about, my dear Christy. We were worried there for a moment.
I'm fine. Just starving. Any of the MRE packs around?
Ryan's own gut growled in harmony.
Not a crumb. We'll have to go hunting in the upper levels for anything edible still in storage. But checking the Matrans unit is our top priority.
Just in case we have to leave fast. Understood. But then food.
Absolutely.
Do you still require my coat, madam? If so, it is yours.
She shook out the frock coat and passed it over.
I'm not cold anymore. Thanks for the pillow.
My pleasure. But you should thank the good doctor. I did nothing special.
Aw, stuff it, you old coot.
Hey, what's that?
Dean pointed across the room. Instantly, the adults spun with their weapons at the ready. There was something large and metallic hidden in the shadows underneath the stairs. Jack slid a knife from his sleeve.
Not a doll? Never see before.
Checking his blaster, Ryan walked closer, with the rest of the companions close behind. Mildred flicked her butane lighter, and in the flickering flame they saw a large armored door set in the concrete wall. The frame was burnished steel, the massive portal veined with reinforcing flanges and bars.
A second armory?
Working the bolt on his Uzi, JB scowled.
Could be anything.
Ryan rapped on the